Okay, you guys, here we go. She Runs Ultras, episode number 175. Right out of the gate, you guys. For some reason, today is not my day to record a podcast episode. I am tongue-tied. It is hot. Apparently, I'm 175 episodes in and I have completely forgotten how to record a podcast episode, but yet we soldier on. So someone recently joined the Run Your First 50K Facebook group, and one of the reasons that they listed as to why they wanted to join was for, quote, motivation in case of burnout, which I really resonate with. So I thought that maybe we could talk about 10 ways to avoid burnout in the first place, because I'm a big fan of avoiding things like this if you can. So I'm going to give you 10 things that over the years I have implemented that have helped me to avoid burnout and just generally enjoy my ultra training more. All right. So as usual, these are in no particular order, and we're just going to run through top to bottom 1 to 10. So if you can, maybe take some notes, maybe even make a mental note or really write down the ones that resonate with you, the ones that perhaps you know you need to work on. There might be one or two in here that surprise you that you're like, oh man, I never even thought about that. So maybe take some notes if you can, or just listen to it again when you're in a place to do so. So the first thing is to be discerning with your race choices. This is a mistake that I have made many times. Okay. Trying to do too many races per year, too close together, that puts a lot of stress on you mentally, physically, emotionally, as well as with your family and work life. So a better choice would be to do perhaps fewer races and space them out so that you have ample time leading up to and afterwards to prepare for and recover from these races. Choosing races that are close to you as well to reduce the time and financial stress of travel is also a really great idea, and choosing races that are well supported with a proven track record. There's a difference between doing a brand new race that's 3,000 miles away, where when you look at the website, you don't see any of the course information, you have no idea where the aid stations are, how far apart they are, what will be at those aid stations, how to get to or from the race. Maybe it's in a really remote place. I mean, all of it sounds really, it's twofold, right? To some people, that sounds really exciting, and I can get behind that. But if this is new to you, like if you've never done a race like that before, it can be very stressful because you don't know where to go, what to do, how to prepare, you know, what to eat, what to drink, because that information isn't available to you. So be discerning with your race choices. Choose the ones that are appropriate for you at the level that you're at, whether that's a novice, you're just coming into ultra running, or if you're more experienced, you might be more tolerant of one of those races like BFC, like the Barclay Fall Classic, where you don't know what the course is, you just know the time and the date that you have to show up. You don't even really know how far you're running, technically, and you won't know the course until you get the map the day before, all right? That level of uncertainty, unknown, is okay for some people. Perhaps it's not for you. So maybe you've just simply been making race choices that don't jive with your current stress level, right? Your current capacity for uncertainty. And that's something that really simple that you could change. All right. So that's thing number one, be discerning with your race choices. Thing number two is to calibrate your goals to your current reality. Now, I want to be sure that I explain this one really clearly, because when you hear this, you might be thinking that I'm advising you to just stay at the distance that you're at. So whether you're at the half, the full, the 50K, the 50 mile, 100 mile, just that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is calibrate your goals to the life that you have in front of you right now, not to the quote unquote dream life that you think you'll have when you start training. Raise your hand if you have ever planned to do a race to start your training on a specific day, specific point of the year, and you're like, when I start training, I'm not going to have any work conflicts. I'm going to be able to get my morning runs in. I'm going to be able to run at noontime or work out at leave the office at noon to go to the gym. And then when I come home, maybe I'll be able to run I won't have any chores because those will be taken care of. Like, I have done this before where I think everything will just, any issues that I have will magically just be resolved when I flip the switch and say, I'm training now. Okay. So take an honest look at your life and set goals based on that reality. An example of this would be if you have to travel an hour each way, you work 80 hours a week, maybe training for a 100 miler or a 200 miler or even a 50K or a 50 miler might not be probable, might not be the best choice for you right now. Unless, of course, you have a really good support system, you have help that will, you know, keep your life together, okay, to keep you moving in the right direction. But if you don't have a support system, if you have a look at your schedule and you can't find windows of opportunity to get that training in now, what makes you think it's going to happen when you, like I said before, flip the switch and say, okay, now I'm training, right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean when I say calibrate your goals to your current reality. There's always going to be room in the future to do more, but what I would suggest is wherever you're at right now, whatever your life looks like right now, do the distance that best fits in with what you have in front of you. And then as you start to get more, let's just say like your schedule is dialed in, when you get more efficient in how you do things, usage of time, when and where you train, when your schedule gets better, when you can say no to more things, which is my fatal flaw, when you can say no and create more space, then maybe you've got time to do a 50 miler or a 100 miler, or maybe you hire some help or you actually ask for help from other members of your family. Maybe you recruit friends and you trade favors so that you guys can get your training in. There's lots of ways to get creative with this, okay? It's been my experience that you encounter a lot of friction and a high probability of burnout if you're constantly swimming upstream against your life in order to train. So the more ease, the more structure, the more support you can create for yourself, the better. All right. So calibrate your goals to your current reality. And then while you're doing that, as you start to get better at these things, find systems and things that you can implement so that when you're ready to go farther, that you've got those things in place. So there is more time and space and support for you to do bigger and longer races. That sort of dovetails nicely into thing number three, which is give yourself ample time to train. Now, you know me, cramming training into 12 or 16 weeks just isn't my thing, and it's definitely not gonna cut it, and it's a surefire way to cause burnout. I've done this, obviously. My whole goal is to give you a list of things to avoid so that you don't make the same mistakes that I have. And when I did that, I was constantly worried. I would say things or question myself like, am I doing enough? Will I be ready? What if I miss a day? What if I injure myself? What if? Because I wasn't confident in my training because I was trying to cram it into a finite amount of time with no wiggle room, no room for error. I was stressed when I missed a workout. I ended up doing double the work, and then I would dig myself a hole from an energy perspective. I would be so tired, and it was a tough hole to get out of. So one of the things that I started to do was to spend more time mapping out my days and my schedule and making sure that I had ample time every day to do something that would contribute to my training goals, all right? And just as a side note, someone asked me this question the other day about like how much time. You need at least 20 weeks to train for a 50K. And that really doesn't include your base training, you guys. You should be averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 15,000 steps per day or around 15 miles a week for about 4 to 6 weeks, right? With a little bit of fluctuation, because again, we don't want to be doing the same route on the same days at the same pace for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. But you should be in the neighborhood of 15, maybe a little more, maybe a little less miles per week for about 4 to 6 weeks before you start ultra training. So if you're not there yet, start to work your way up by doing 5 and then 10 and then 15,000 steps a day. Thing number 4 is make fun a priority. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's going to be really hard to keep showing up and putting in the work to run an ultra if you never have any fun, right? I think we can all find, like, dig back into your memory and find a job that probably fits this same description, right? If you never have any fun, it's going to be hard to keep showing up and keep putting in the work required. So find ways to make it fun, as much fun as possible. That could be a new route. It could be a new playlist. You could run with friends. Whatever you think is fun, make sure to do some of that as often as you can. And it doesn't have to be over the top or expensive. It could just be like you get a cup of coffee after your run. Maybe you listen to your favorite podcast that you can't listen to in the car because of your husband or your kids or your work carpool. Like, maybe that's the thing. Just find ways to make it fun. And I promise it'll be much easier and you'll be much more excited to keep showing up and keep putting in the work. Thing number 5 is to incorporate the right mix of training modalities into your training plan. Okay, we've talked about it before. There's more to running ultras than just logging the miles. And I know you guys know this because that's why you're here. So just keep in mind that you need to incorporate walking, cross training, strength training, mobility, all those things. The first place you can start if you're like, I know I need to do this, but I don't train every single day. The best first place you can start is with a daily shakedown. Some of you guys are new, and I've been getting some emails asking, Megan, what the hell is a daily shakedown? Like, you talk about this shakedown thing, and I have no idea what it is. So let's review real quick. A shakedown is a short movement practice that you do every day, and it takes all of your muscles and joints through their greatest pain-free range of motion. It's a little bit like yoga, but with a more of like an athletic flair to it. Okay. And this is necessary for healthy joints because really the old adage of if you don't use it, you lose it is 100% true. So, but this can also help you to avoid overload and injury. So even though it might feel like just like a fluffy sort of nice thing to do, it really, really, really is a fundamental necessity if you want to keep moving and running for the long term pain-free. Okay. I made a free video that walks you through this, and it's in the show notes, or you can get it by going to my website, which is megan-gould.com/daily shakedown. So it's megan-gould.com/daily shakedown. There's no space between daily and shakedown. Okay. So that's the best first place for you to start. And honestly, it's going to help you do something that I'm going to talk about at the end of this list. So keep this in mind. If you're not religiously doing the daily shakedown every single day, this is the first place you should start. Okay. You can do it first thing in the morning, at lunch, before a run, after a run. It'll help you wind down before you go to bed. Like, there's lots of applications. You can stand, you can sit, you can be on all fours. There's a bunch of different versions of this actually that I created inside the She Runs Ultras membership. But this one that I put in the show notes is a great place to start because it's actually outside standing. So now there's no excuse for you not to do it before you head out for your run. Okay, you can be fully dressed, forget to do your warm-up, and then actually do this, okay, before you go. Now, if you want to see how I map out my training each week, that includes all of those things that I listed above, the walking, the running, this cross training, the strength, the mobility, I made a sample 10-week training plan that you can get Now, keep in mind, this is not meant to be a full and complete training plan. It's literally a sample. It's meant to show you how I like to structure my training and what days I do each thing so that I'm sure not to miss something or skip something that's really important, okay? So you can get that either by going down into the show notes or again, by going to my website, megan-gould.com/10-week-plan. So 10-week plan, all one word, that's where that lives, okay? So those are two amazing resources that will help you to start to map out and incorporate the right mix of training modalities into your training plan. Because again, if you're only running, you're missing out on a whole other side of training that you could be doing that supports the running. So even if you think that you don't have time to do these other things, I would like to give you a different way to think about that, which is how can you not do those things, right? How can you afford not to be doing strength training or mobility or walking or cross training or any of those things? Because those feed back into your running. Okay, thing number 6 on the list, make recovery and or sleep a priority. I just cannot do a good job and get results in my training when I'm exhausted, okay? And you can't and shouldn't expect to do that either. So down weeks should be programmed into your training plan. They should be integrated at regular intervals to give you some weeks where your mileage or your overall time is reduced. And you should also really be prioritizing sleep. If you haven't listened to the episodes that I did with sleep therapist Risa Gabrielle, do that immediately after you listen to this, okay? So there are two episodes, number 47 and number 68. And I just want to give a quick shout out to my virtual assistant, Angela, for going back through and renumbering all of the podcast episodes, because at some point I took them out and I kept referencing the different episodes and you guys kept writing in and saying, I can't see what number episode, which one is that? So Angela went in and put all of the episodes, all the numbers back into the episode. So now you should be able to just scroll through the feed and find 47 and 168. Okay, those are the two episodes with Risa that you're going to want to listen to. Because in those, we discuss how to get more high quality sleep, as well as some strategies for getting rest that doesn't actually involve sleeping, like things that you could do at work or, you know, during your day, where you don't have to completely wind down, you know, and go through the whole rigmarole of like trying to take a nap, especially for those of you like me who aren't necessarily quote unquote good at napping, okay? Those of you that cannot fall asleep instantly the second you close your eyes, okay? Because I know there are some of you guys out there that can do that. So make sure you go back and listen to those episodes if sleep and recovery is challenging for you. Thing number 7 is to manage your mind. One of the ways that I see myself, I can sort of predict, I should say, when I'm going to get burnt out is when I get overwhelmed and I don't have a clear picture of what needs to be done, the actual steps that need to be taken to get from where I am to where I want to go. So one of the ways that I combat this is by taking time to sit down and actually think through the process. Maybe I'll even outline it on paper or I'll create a spreadsheet that will help me to manage my mind and the training process so that I'm not bouncing around all over the place, like, what about this? And then, what about that? What about this? What about that? And it's sort of, I think about it like a pinball machine, right? Your mind, your thought process is the ball getting pinged around inside the machine. And while you have some control over it, right? What levers, what buttons to push, you really don't, because then there's all these other factors. Those are like those hidden bumpers that like push the pinball at sometimes, right? Probably been a while since you guys have played a pinball machine, and I'm definitely dating myself, but I think the analogy still works here. So this is something that you can do, this walkthrough process that will help you to just have a good look at, okay, what am I thinking? What am I doing? What do I need to do? What are the gaps? Can I see any gaps? Am I on the right track? Do I need to find other people or other resources to help me? Like, this is a way that you can start to manage your mind. Another way to think about this, and just as a side note, this is something that a coach can help you with too. And it doesn't, you know, it could be a coach. It could also just be a friend that listens to you as you map out your training, right? But if you do get to some place that's, you're really stuck, this is a good spot to hire a coach to help you map out that process. Another way to think about this is, or another way to do this is sort of like a brain dump, where you just sit down and you write everything down on paper. And I would suggest actually doing it pen and paper versus on the computer or on your phone. There's just something about having to write it down that really makes it tangible. Write everything down that comes to mind, and it doesn't even have to be about running. So don't filter or omit any thoughts because you think, oh, this isn't relevant to my running. You need to put everything down on paper, because oftentimes what happens is there's something going on in another area of your life that is restricting you or holding you back, that's translating that restriction over into your running, right? Maybe you're making concessions for something else, or you're worried about something else, and that's keeping you from putting your full energy into your running, okay? So don't filter or omit any thoughts, because you want this to be a true representation of what's occupying the space in your mind so that you can look at it, review it, and deal with whatever is holding you back. Okay, so managing your mind is really, really important. All right, thing number 8, have people that you can talk to that understand what you're trying to do. I touched on this in the last thing, right? Either having a friend or maybe a coach that helps you to manage your mind, manage the process. But this is really, really important because And just as a side note, it doesn't have to be somebody who is an ultra runner. Like, for example, my husband doesn't run ultras, but he understands the in and outs of training and the level of effort that's required to do an ultra. So for you, maybe that's a friend or a coworker, a different family member, someone you met at a local running group or even online. Like, just having someone that you can talk to that understands what you're trying to do, the importance of it for you, the challenges, the obstacles, the things that you're going through can be extremely helpful, because there's nothing worse than not talking about it, getting all like closed in to your own little headspace and not being able to get your feelings out, express it, and work through those challenges. You just sort of, again, you're in that pinball machine. You're sort of on the like spin cycle in the washing machine. You're just going around and around and around with no outlet to vent frustrations or challenges or get any input, get some help, get something, get a new perspective. So having people that you can talk to, a group, in a group setting, or maybe it's a one-on-one setting, is going to be very, very important. Okay. That's going to go a long way to helping you prevent burnout in the first place. All right. So don't wait until it comes to a head. Like, get in there early and get some people into your social circle. Maybe it's home, maybe it's work, maybe it's at the group run, maybe it's online, but get some people around you that understand what you're trying to do and engage with them. All right. Thing number 9, I've talked about this in another episode, and I actually went back and I tried to look at which episode it was, and I can't find it for the life of me. But thing number 9 is the concept of eyes on your own work. I will freely admit that this is really challenging when it comes to today's society, okay? But keeping your head down and focusing on what you're doing, not paying attention, and especially not comparing yourself to anyone else, is absolutely crucial to avoiding burnout in ultra training. There is always, and there is no shortage of this on the internet, there is always, always, always going to be somebody else out there that is doing more, bigger, wilder, crazier, obscene things in ultra running than you. There's also going to be people that are doing less than you. You just don't technically or probably see those people because they're not making as much noise, okay? But the best thing that you can do for your own brain, for your own sanity, for your own longevity in training and in ultras is to keep your head down and your eyes on your own work, okay? Focus on your training, showing up and doing what you need to do in order to get it done, in order to move the ball, you know, 1 yard or 10 yards down the field every single day, to put a penny into that training piggy bank that we've talked about before. Show up every day, put a penny in the bank, and over time, those pennies are going to compound, right? Just like in football, and I'm not even like a real huge fan of football, but like every play, the goal is to move the ball down the field incrementally. Sometimes it's in tiny little increments. Sometimes it's Hail Mary passes that go really far down the field, okay? But keeping your eyes on your own work and paying attention and showing up every day and doing what you need to do is the most important part. If you spend too much time, and it is really possible to get sucked down that vortex in and on social media of comparison between what you're doing and what other people are doing, then you're going to be wasting valuable and precious time and brain cells and bandwidth that you could be devoting to your stuff. So it's not that you shouldn't care about what your friends and running group buddies are doing. It's just that you need to dedicate an entire channel in your head for just you TV, all the things that are focused on your training and what you need to do. And that channel is the widest, it's the loudest, it's got the most bandwidth. And then you can have the other channels in there as well for friends and family and training buddies. But yours is the one that has the most bandwidth, that you watch the most often, that you give the most attention to, all right? So eyes on your own work, head down, focus on your training. All right, last but not least, thing number 10 on this list, I alluded to it before, but thing number 10 is show up consistently. I have personally found that it is much, much harder to train when you go through this cycle of stop, start, stop, start, stop, halfway start, stop, 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 start. Like when you just do this inconsistent pattern, showing up consistently every day in some way, shape, or form, and will not only help you to get better results, but you'll feel better about your training and yourself if you don't have to constantly psych yourself up to do the same thing over and over again. And you'll avoid burnout because this whole stop and start process actually takes more energy. If you think about it like a car analogy, once you start the car and you're at cruising speed, there's less wear and tear on the car. If you are in traffic in the city, you're constantly on and off the gas, or back in the day, you'd be on and off the clutch. Like that's how you create more wear and tear. But if you just show up consistently at a low level every single day, and maybe it builds for a few weeks and then it cuts back, but it never goes to zero, and then it builds and cuts back and build and so on and so forth, but you never stop, then that's actually better for you than start, stop, start, stop, et cetera, et cetera. Some days, like I talked about before, all I can manage is a shakedown. And as a side note, that's usually the case when I don't do a good job of managing my time and my schedule, when I say yes to things that I really want to say no to, when I allow other things to take precedence over my training, when they clearly aren't important. But some days all I can manage is a shakedown. And the deal that I've made with myself is that on days when shit hits the fan, if all I'm able to do is a shakedown and be consistent with it, then that's a win. That's a penny in the bank. That is something that I can compound over time. Now, maybe you implement the same deal with yourself about the shakedown, and I would recommend this to any of you guys that are all or nothing type of thinkers, because that's how I used to be. And it was super challenging to stay consistent because I would run myself ragged on the days when I was overbooked, and that would cause me to go into a downward spiral. And then I would be so tired that I would skip multiple days of training in a row. And then it felt like that hole was just too deep. It was insurmountable. I couldn't climb out of it. So I don't know if any of you guys have been there, but this is how I manage consistency by just focusing on the daily shakedown and keeping in mind this whole car analogy, right? Like, I'm not gonna get this correct, but I think it's Newton's first law, right? A body in motion tends to stay at motion. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. So just think about yourself like the car. You want to start it up and then get it up to cruising speed. You know, maybe you come off the gas a little bit and the car coasts. That would sort of represent the down week. And then you go back to the gas and you ramp up, right? That would represent a few building weeks, so on and so forth. But you never slam on the gas so hard that the car stops abruptly. And then you don't stay stopped, right? Even if you do stop, you don't stay stopped. You get back up and you keep going. All right. So let's run through those 10 things again, just so that you have a reminder. The first was be discerning with your race choices. Number two, calibrate your goals to your current life reality. Number three, give yourself ample time to train. Number four, make fun a priority. Number five, incorporate the right mix of training modalities into your plan. And by modality, just to review, I mean walking, cross training, running, strength, mobility. Those are modalities. Thing number six, make recovery and sleep a priority. Number seven, manage your mind. Number eight, have people that you can talk to that understand what you're trying to do. Number nine is the whole concept of eyes on your own work. And number 10, show up consistently. So as you get more proficient at these, you guys, this is where I sort of circle back and talk about the calibrate your goals to your current life reality. As you get more proficient at these, you can probably add more races and or add races that are more complex or require more travel, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So use this as a place to start with and then start to build off of this, because once you can get these under control, you can start to add distance and complexity without increasing the likelihood of burnout. Okay. So this is how you go from half to full, from full to 50K, from 50K to 50 miles, so on and so forth. All right. So take those 10 things, review your training, see what holes or gaps you have, and start to work to fill them up. All right. So I hope that was helpful for you guys. If you're struggling with burnout, I'm actually going to do a live call inside my private Facebook group, Run Your First 50K, next month. That's August, if you're August of 2023, if you're listening in real time, and we're going to talk all about this. So if you're not yet a member, come and join us. Keep in mind though, that this group is exclusively for women. So you'll just head over to Facebook and search Run Your First 50K under groups. Hit that little button to request to join. You'll see a little pop-up window come up with a couple questions that we ask you to answer so that we know how to help you. And then that's it, you're in. One more thing before you go, you guys. It is Friday, July 28th, and that means that on Monday, the doors to the She Runs Ultras membership are closing, Monday, July 31st at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So make sure that you snag your spot because the doors won't open again until late September. You can either go down into the show notes and click the link, or you can just go to SheRunsUltras.com and you can get all the information there about the program, the membership, I should say, and that's where you can snag your spot. That's all for this episode, you guys. Enjoy this beat, and I'll see you all soon.